You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
This land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. Don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe. Don't tread on me. Son, don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Third and final hour of Your Defending Fathers. Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. The fixing I was talking about was updating to the new news and sports from basically last night, this morning. That's been updated. Thank you to Devin. The freezing up, folks, that you're hearing at the end of the hour is a drive on an automation computer that needs to be replaced. And we are in the process of doing that. I apologize. We're going to have to put up with it for a few more days until Devin can get things figured out and get it replaced for us. But we're working on it. So I apologize for that drive freezing up at the end of the show on the first, second, and hopefully not the third hour, but it could be. And my voice is running out of gas, so I'll do the best I can. State Board of Education would not be able to change academic standards until a sign-off from the Michigan legislature under State Representative Gina Johnson, Republican from Portland's bill, that passed Republican 56 to 50 Democrats. Democrats against it, Republicans for it. Though the state board could still revise standards, revisions could not be enforced until both the House and the Senate pass a concurrent resolution approving them under Johnson's House Bill 5364. State Representative Tyrone Carter, Democrat from Detroit, voted against the bill because it was geared toward public schools, he said. In order to have equity and equality in learning spaces, he added, there needs to be an even playing field. I know my Republican colleagues like to use common sense, but that didn't make sense to me. What you just said, Carter, doesn't make sense to me. You feel her bill is geared toward public schools? And in order to have equity and equality in learning spaces, there needs to be a level playing field. So you're saying, just point of clarification, sir, you're saying that if the bill was amended to include charter schools, if it was to include private schools, Christian schools, homeschooling, that the State Board of Education couldn't change the standards for education in our state if it included all aspects of teaching, online teaching, then you'd be okay with it. But because you feel, in your opinion, it's geared towards only public schools, you're going to vote no? That's illogical. That doesn't even make sense. Well, there was two additional bills. Speaker Pro Tem Rochelle Smith, Republican Shelbyville, also passed through the House, with one even receiving bipartisan support. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Well, we're going to talk about these two other bills and the one that passed with a couple of Democrats, and why most of the Democrats voted against it. This is what we've got going on in our house, folks, in Lansing right now. Short break, word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing: people, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sioux St. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number three. House Bill 5467. This was a bill sponsored by Rochelle Smith. Provides a deadline for the replacement of a candidate to fill a vacated seat and to hold a special election. The bill passed in the House yesterday 60-46, along pretty much mostly party lines, and would allow a candidate vacancies that occur at least 55 days before an election to be filled with a replacement on the upcoming ballot, preventing any last-minute ballot reprints. State Representative Stephen Wooden, Democrat from Grand Rapids, voted against the bill. However, he emphasized that it was only for a rare specific reason. Otherwise, he was completely on board and praised Smith for her initiative on this effort. His concern was what happens when a candidate running for partisan offices in larger districts dies within those 55 days. The likely outcome, he said, is that the other candidate from the major party would win by happenstance of that person's death. Instead, he suggests that if they stay on the ballot, the votes be counted. If they happen to win, that would trigger a special election. Why? Because the person who won the election is dead and can't take office. That way, it would avoid having to reprint ballots quickly and possibly even invalidate certain votes that have already been cast for the previous candidate, simply leaving that person on the ballot. I realize that it's a very rare instance, but I do think it's an additional question that we should answer while we are removing the ability to get a replacement candidate on a ballot. Now, Smith's other bill, House Bill 5468, modifies the information required on candidate nominating petitions. Well, this one passed overwhelmingly, 103-3, and would require an update of Michigan's candidate petition forms by removing their personal street address, adding a space for a campaign website, and requiring that U.S. House candidates indicate the district of residency. Oh, that's interesting. If they have to indicate the district's residency, they'd have to basically prove or say that they live in the district. They can't carpetbag into a district without it being on the nominating petition. Well, State Representative Dylan Wegela, Democrat of Garden City, was one of the three who voted against the bill because he said he's generally opposed to bills that he perceives making things less transparent. It doesn't get more transparent than candidates on their petition forms having to share their address. I know people are concerned about safety, and I do think we should be mindful of that. But I also don't want it to be any easier for people to hide key information from the public. Because when it comes to public officials, well, sometimes it has to be uncomfortable. But it basically comes with the job. You know what? I agree with him. I mean, it's not like people can't Google search and find all kinds of information about us anyway, number one, including our residency. So why should politicians be any different than regular people? So I kind of agree with him on that one. I can understand why he voted against it. Although I'm supportive of the bill, I understand why he voted no. Now, another kind of, I guess, feel-good story. Utility companies have made significant progress on lessening power outages, improving the grid reliability, according to a recent 2025 annual report put out by the Michigan Public Service Commission. The report noted that DTE Electric Company and Consumers Energy have reduced the yearly power outages by 1 hour to just 52.6 minutes annually per customer between 2019 and 2024. The storm event outage late March of last year dropped the time from, or excuse me, increased the time to 88.5 minutes when taking into northern Michigan. But when averaged across the entire state, it was still less than an hour and a half. The report stated, our focus remains steadfast on affordability and customer assistance, consumer protection, public engagement, system reliability, and resiliency of the grid, while improving the lives of Michigan residents. Back in 2024, Michigan Public Service Commission reported the state ranked 18th nationally for the lowest residential energy bills, including both natural gas and electricity. Well, specifically regarding electricity, it came in at 15th in the country. The average electric bill in the state was $119.31, which was actually $23 lower than the national average. Folks, that was from 2024. Michigan Public Service Commission said they were also able to increase the amount of monies utilities needed to pay during electric outages, which were taken automatically when deadlines were missed to return services. Residential costs for power between 2020 and 2025 increased at a much lower rate than the rest of the country. Renewable energy in the state has grown by 8,300 megawatts from 2023 till the 2025 report. Expanding renewable energy is still part of our requirements to demand that the utility companies provide for their customers, said the report. So, kind of an interesting update report from the Michigan Public Service Commission. Well, anyone who is interested had an opportunity last Wednesday night to see their governor in action during her final State of the State address. However, years ago, if you wanted to view the governor's remarks after dinner, it wasn't easy. In fact, it was almost impossible. For example, back in the 1970s, those who wanted to see the state address, annual address from then-Governor William Milliken, a Republican, had to be home at 11 a.m. The speech was given during the day. For 14 years, the Democrats who controlled the House made darn sure Milliken never got a shot at a broader audience. They refused to change the time of the state of the state address. The House had the power to change the time, but they never did. As soon as the Republican Milliken left office and Democrat James Blanchard came in, things quickly changed. Democrats jumped at the suggestion to give their governor a broader audience and moving it to 7 p.m., where it has now remained ever since. So, how many folks actually watched Governor Gretchen Whitmer's last State of the State address? Well, based on the review of YouTube hits, that was carrying it on certain YouTube channels, along with broadcast stations across the state, Fox 2 in Detroit, who got the highest viewership of 10,000 people. WZZM-TV, Channel 13 in Kalamazoo, 6,200. WWMT in Kalamazoo, an additional 4,400. CBS Detroit, WJBK, 1,900 people. WKAR-TV, the public subsidized TV that little Timmy Skubik's on, 1,500 people. And finally, 116 people bother to watch Fox WXMI Channel 17 in Grand Rapids. These were the only channels that posted their viewership on the internet. However, speaking of having other platforms, the governor's social media platforms, she got 2,002,112 hits as of late last week. That is not a misprint when challenged and questioned by the Republicans. So, yes, kind of interesting. Very low number of people watched Governor Gretchen Whitmer's last State of the State address. I was one of them. And again, I gave her A pluses for her two first points out of the gate and then went to F's right after that. Her first bullet point, literacy. Forcing demanding changes in the way we teach our kids how to read. And her second bullet point was housing. We have to eliminate the high cost of building a new house. When it comes to permit fees, we need to change the zoning ordinances. We need to demand that these local municipalities approve site plans and development projects much quicker than they're currently doing it. I'm not against public comment, but you hold your hearing, you have the public comment, and then you pass it. You get the cost of building new houses in this state of Michigan reduced at least by 70-80%. Story I did a few weeks ago. Average median cost to build a new house in the state of Michigan is $430,000. $94,000 of that is fees, regulatory fees, permit fees, tap-in fees, site plan reviews. It's ridiculous. We've got to get rid of these regulations. We have got to get these zoning requirements under control. That, those 2 points, absolutely agreed with the governor. But her number one point, literacy, throwing more money at it ain't going to get it. Like the one comment that I saw, you can sit a kid on a pile of money that's not going to help him learn how to read. Well, there is actually a way you can teach them to read, but the left is going...